Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of U.S. Meat Export Federation.
Thanks, Dan, for your time. And tell me more about the agricultural trade promotion funds that USDA just awarded the U.S. Meat Export Federation. What will those be used for?
This is a result of the Trump administration's efforts to help at the U.S. ag industry in areas where there's been disadvantages due to some of the trade conflicts, i.e. Some countervailing duties that the U.S. beef and pork products are suffering with because of it. A good example being China, where we have a 37% duty on beef and a 62% duty on pork. Also, it was designed to help the ag industry in areas where we have disadvantageous competitive positions because of a lack of free trade agreements. For example, in Japan today, we do not have a trade agreement, while we have some key competitors such as Australia that are part of the CPTPP now. And, you know, you're looking at Australian duties that are about 12 or 13% lower than U.S. beef duties going into Japan. So this is sort of the genesis for the program, and definitely, you know, one of the reasons that we applied. And as you mentioned, we're in the second phase of this mitigation program. First phase was awarded earlier this year, but we're already seeing some very positive feedback from the marketplace with these extra resources to go in and really not only protect our share where we have high share in a place like Mexico, but to expand the share in places like Japan, for example, where we have some big competition from a lot of our competitors.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? What other positive feedback?
Well, the when you have a 12% or 13% disadvantage on duty going into a place like Japan, where U.S. grain-fed beef has very, very high demand, very, very high acceptance, but still, you know, it's an economic decision in the end. So what we're using some of these funds for is on a promotional side, even though we're at a disadvantage on beef and to a certain extent on pork as well, we're going in and we're making commitments, really coattailing what we're already doing there. We already spend a significant amount of checkoff dollars and government other government dollars in these markets to try to maximize our opportunity. But what these additional ATP funds allow us to do is to go in and do a couple of things. Number one is maybe we can do a more broad program that affects more outlets at the retail level. We do a lot of work with Aeon in Japan, for example, the largest retailer in Japan. So we can go in and instead of doing something with 200 stores, maybe we can do a promotion with three or 400 stores, for example, because we have more resources at our disposal. The other thing it allows us to do is that the ATP funds are a little bit different in that we can commit beyond 1 year. A lot of our funding through the various organizations that we deal with are year by year, statute related, including the normal government MAP funds and FMD funds that we use. The ATP funds allow us to use it up to 3 years. So we can go in and make a commitment with a retailer for longer than 1 year, which really is a big selling advantage, marketing advantage into these markets. So I'd say the combination of those two things, a larger breadth of scale, a little longer time horizon, has worked wonders. And like, for example, Aeon in Japan has been very, very positive feedback from those folks.
You mentioned Japan. Are there other areas where the USMEF is sending or using this funding?
Well, it's a good example, yeah. But no, we are, I can give you kind of a cross section. I would say when you think of this funding, a large percentage of it goes into the larger markets because there's more going on, there's more opportunity. So not only Japan, Mexico is another very good example, which is our second largest market. For beef and the largest volume market for pork, actually. And you look at China. Those would be the three big ones. Number four is Korea. Now, we have no trade issues in Korea. Things are actually working, or very few trade issues in Korea. Things are actually working very well. But where Korea comes in is the product mix for beef, for example, where we do have a disadvantage in Japan. The product mix to Korea is almost the same. So we're using some of these dollars to get another push in Korea to help out with a product mix where we're maybe a little bit of a headwind in Japan. On the pork side, it's similar. We're going into Korea on pork side because the product mix is very similar to Mexico where we had have some headwinds. So it's really about product mix as well. And then the second part of the equation on countries is a certain amount of this investment is going to developing emerging markets. So the whole region in Central America and South America, they're not new markets, but they are developing markets. And we're seeing tremendous percentage growth year on year in both of those regions. So this, once again, these funds, they're smaller regions with big growth, is helping us accelerate the process by having more resources. And then last but not least, we have brand new regions as well, where we're putting up not a big amount of money, but a little bit, percentage-wise it's big, in the regions like Africa, which 5 years ago, Africa didn't really show up as a region in our exports. And today, on beef variety meats, Africa, the region as a whole, is our fourth largest market for beef variety meats. So really, it's a combination of the balance with expanding that opportunity in well-established markets and investing in the future in some of these emerging markets.